This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Coming up on today's show, we'll take a look at the Cincinnati Bar Association. First up, the Greater Cincinnati Foundation helps people make the most of their giving to build a better community, using the power of philanthropy to change the lives of people and communities throughout an 8-county region in our area of our region. Now, the foundation has invested in projects that range from the Cincinnati Zoo's solar canopy to the Cincinnati Chamber's Minority Business Accelerator. Ellen Katz recently took over as president and CEO of the Greater Cincinnati Foundation. She, Vice President for Community Investment Shiloh Turner, and Beth Benson, Vice President of Communications and Marketing, join us to discuss the history and work of the foundation. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Ellen, Shiloh, and Beth, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Ellen, tell us how you came into this new position, leading the Greater Cincinnati Foundation.
Sure. Well, about 100 days ago, I moved over from the Children's Home of Cincinnati, where I was president and CEO, to become president and CEO of the Greater Cincinnati Foundation. A tremendous opportunity to transition from looking at the community from a 10-foot deep silo to now one that's about 10 miles wide.
Interesting way to look at it. How much of a transition was this for you to make the move from the Children's Home to GCF?
Well, a big transition in a lot of different ways, operationally in terms of perspective and learning new things about the community, connecting with new sectors, meeting new donors. Feels pretty much all new to me.
Almost 100 days. What is it exactly? Beth, you've been counting this, haven't you?
99.
She knows exactly. That's why she is in charge of communications. How have the first 99 days gone, Ellen?
They've been fantastic. Definitely jumped right into the seat. Kathy Merchant had established a phenomenal foundation. It has not been difficult to connect with community leaders. I'm meeting a lot of new people, learning a lot about some of the key initiatives that are really driving the improvement of this region. It's been a fantastic ride so far.
So you're getting to know who's who and who does what and how everything works, right?
Trying to connect the dots. Absolutely.
Well, Ellen, what is the story of how the Greater Cincinnati Foundation got its start?
So a little bit more than 50 years ago in 1963, some very wise women were running an organization called the Fresh Air and Convalescent Aid Society. And they were taking women and their children out into the country to a property that we all know quite well in Indian Hill, which is now home to Stepping Stones, and basically experiencing respite in that country location. And they began to realize that as times were changing, there wasn't really the same need for their business anymore. So wise they were in recognizing that it was time to close up their business. But they sat on a lovely piece of property and had an endowment of about $600,000 that they wanted to basically bequest to the community. And there were some businessmen who were interested in developing a community foundation in this region, having benchmarked the opportunity against Cleveland, which is the first community foundation in the country. And literally, the Fresh Air women met the businessmen and transitioned the endowment over to the banks, which formed the corpus of the start of the Greater Cincinnati Foundation.
$600,000, Shiloh. What size is the foundation now? I mean, it's come quite a ways, yeah. Hasn't it?
Yes, our asset size is well over $500 million now. So thanks to generous donors past and present, we have quite the resource in our community from which we can make all sorts of meaningful investments that will change our community now and into the future.
So tell me how the foundation works, Shiloh. How exactly is this structured?
Sure. So my department, the Community Investment Department, is really primarily responsible for making those investments, whether they are grants or impact investments in our community. And the endowment that was created at the foundation was really created by donors, primarily donors that wanted to make sure that things lasted in our community and good work was done. So my team, along with some fantastic volunteers with our Community Investment Committee, really review applications a couple times a year, and we move forward the most competitive grants to award into the community. And we actually have a community investment framework that guides all of this work, the goal of which is to create a prosperous Greater Cincinnati region. And we support that by supporting thriving people and vibrant places.
Beth, what are some of the projects that the foundation's been involved in over the years? We mentioned a couple. One was the Cincinnati Zoo's solar canopy and the Minority Business Accelerator at the Chamber. What are some other things that the Chamber's done?
Well, we like to say pretty much you look around Greater Cincinnati and anything you see we've probably had a role in or our donors. So the art museum, the effort to save our icons for Union Terminal and Music Hall. After 2001, when the city experienced civil unrest, the Greater Cincinnati Foundation and many other funders came together in an effort called Better Together Cincinnati to help with police community relations and economic inclusion and many other related issues. Cradle to career education, early childhood. Really look around, and if there's an important issue in our city that our donors care about, we've probably been there somehow.
Yeah, and Shiloh, isn't there? There's seven areas, I think, that the chamber focuses
right.
on. Yeah, tell us about
the foundation.
Those.
Yes,
yeah, the foundation. Excuse me.
That's okay. We invest in educational success and health and wellness and economic opportunity. That's what we call the people side of the framework. And then the place side of the framework is strong communities, which can mean anything from community and economic development to civic engagement, something of that nature, cultural vibrancy, job creation, and environmental stewardship. So there's lots of different priorities within that framework, but we really feel like that addresses the needs of our region in a most comprehensive way.
I was going to ask if you ever had plans to expand the number of issues that you deal with, but for now you focused on those seven areas. And
right.
That's what you're going.
And I want to be clear that even though that sounds like seven broad areas, we have very specific priorities within each of those investment areas, and they're actually very intentionally aligned to the other community priorities of our region, whether that be the United Way Bold Goals or Arts Waves Community Impact Agenda, the Strive Partnership, Partners for a Competitive Workforce, et cetera. So we're really intentionally aligning our work and complementing that to the rest of the community.
Something that I'm not sure most people recognize about our community foundation is that the community investment framework that Shiloh and her team make really important decisions around is just one area where investment occurs through our foundation. And when I say our, I mean the entire communities, because it's really a permanent endowment created by the community for the community. But the other area that's very vibrant is through donor advice funds. So last year, about $77 million left the doors, if you will, of the Greater Cincinnati Foundation. And most of that are resources that come out of donor advice funds. So while there are community funds that our framework intends to address through grant making, we also have thousands of donors who have established funds at the foundation and are making their own personal decisions about what matters most for them in terms of giving. So it might be their schools, it might be their churches, it might be local charities or other initiatives into which they wish to put their charitable resources. So it's a very significant portion of the grant making, if you will, that happens in our region.
And it sounds like the number of issues and the things that you can address are quite broad.
They are. And the thing that's so unique about a community foundation is that when you set up a fund, we have incredible knowledge and expertise, really an unprecedented bird's eye view of what's happening in the region. So donor advisors who hold funds at GCF can speak to anyone on Shiloh's team or Shiloh herself or even our giving strategy staff who really, really understand what the issues are. So if you're holding a fund and you really care about early childhood or poverty or any particular issue, we have a whole staff that's there to support and provide information that's really, really unique to the region.
Ellen, how healthy is philanthropy in Greater Cincinnati?
Well, it's incredibly healthy. I mean, we have one of the largest art funds in the nation. Our United Way is incredibly strong, and we have one of the largest community foundations in the country. We stand at about 35, I think, in terms of net assets, which is how community foundations are evaluated in terms of ranking them.
And that's in the context of over 700 nationwide that assist.
Okay. Wow. That's that's significant.
Mm-hmm.
How many partners are involved in the foundation, Shiloh?
Gosh, I would say countless, honestly. If you can count every single donor as a partner, which we certainly do, then we've got thousands of donors. We've got all kinds of different community partners that we co-invest with on community leadership initiatives. We have a number of volunteers that help us in our decision-making for our grant-making, whether that's through Learning Links and Summertime Kids or through our Community Investment Committee. Obviously, our governing board is crucial to our success. So partnership is really what it's all about at GCF.
Beth, what kind of impact has the organization had, would you say, in its years?
If you add up all the grant-making since 1963, I think it's close to $900 million over the years. So I'm going to keep an eye on when it hits a billion. We'd love to celebrate that with the community.
Now, how does does GCF help in building the nonprofit capacity in our region?
Well, it's a pretty critical role of community foundations in general. Obviously, grant making exists to support the efforts of the nonprofits in the region. And then our community investment team works really closely with organizations to help them hone their ideas, think more strategically, and link the efforts of the nonprofits to the overall initiatives in the community. So we build capacity organization by organization, but also systemically as we, you know, try to connect their efforts to things like Shiloh mentioned, like the bold goals that exist in our region.
Shiloh, can you tell us some more about some of the other specific programs that GCF is involved in?
Sure. Actually, I think we make a variety of different investments. And so I'll start at the top. We do make some systems change investments that, as I mentioned, really do connect to very big, broad priorities in our community. So I use Partners for a Competitive Workforce as an example. That was actually an organization that started at GCF and then was rolled over to the United Way a few years later. And they pull together over 50 partner organizations that touch the workforce system in any way, whether they are employers, workforce investment boards, nonprofits that provide direct training and services, philanthropy, obviously, individual donors, and really work toward getting people back to work and getting folks prepared with the skills that they need in order to meet the 21st century workforce demands. And they, up to date, have put 9,100 people placed in employment, and the retention rate is fantastic. So that's just one example of a systemic investment that GCF makes. We also would invest in individual programs and services within that workforce initiative that would then roll up to the broad community goals. And there we make those types of investments in virtually each of our investment areas. So if you look at educational success, we've been at the table since Success by Six was created back in 2003, which was really a direct outgrowth from the civil unrest in our community, recognizing that education really is the great equalizer and that if we don't invest in our kids, then our entire community suffers. So Success by Six really works toward improving kindergarten readiness, and then we'll invest in individual providers to make sure that they are administering quality care for our kids.
We'll continue our conversation about the Greater Cincinnati Foundation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and my guest this afternoon, Ellen Katz, President and CEO of the Greater Cincinnati Foundation, Vice President for Community Investment, Shiloh Turner, and Vice President of Communications and Marketing, Beth Benson. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. So how do you go about getting donors engaged in this whole process? How does that work?
Mm-hmm. So in a variety of ways. We really want the community to understand that this is the community's foundation, and there are opportunities on big and small levels to become involved. We have community funds at GCF into which anyone can put resources and make investments. We also recognize that there are individuals and families that really, truly care about this community. I mean, we know that about this region. People love this region, and a way to participate in the longevity and the vibrancy of the region is to open a fund. And typically people will start by opening a donor advised fund. And it doesn't take a lot of resource, and it provides an opportunity to flexibly and individually make decisions about charitable giving. So if people are inclined to be charitable and to use the power of philanthropy to change the community, they can do so by opening a fund and then working with us to make decisions. Or not, quite frankly. If they don't want to work with us, that's fine too. They can make their own decisions. And then we really are looking to families to inspire philanthropy across generations. So we have some resources and some programs that allow members of families to work with their kids to talk about what it means to them to be charitable, to continue the legacy of contributions that might exist in their families.
You bring up an interesting point. Are you optimistic about the next generation of philanthropists?
Very optimistic about the next generation. I mean, obviously there's a significant transition of wealth that is occurring, but also, you know, the millennial generation, these are individuals who care deeply about community, are really focused on community, and they're interested in being co-investors, if you will, and or really being active in the investments that they make. You know, the opportunity to work side by side with the organizations into which they contribute is something we'll certainly support.
Yeah, I would just add to that I think that the millennials, but most of our donors are increasingly interested in communicating the impact that their giving does, and really pointing as evidence to things that happened in the community that simply wouldn't have occurred without their generosity. And so we're all about communicating our impact both, again, at the community level and at the individual program investment level.
Shiloh, you mentioned there are thousands of donors earlier. What about the number of different funds that the foundation has?
Boy, I'm not the best person to answer that question.
1,200, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. 1,100 or 1,200. So, Beth, talk about the whole idea of engaging future philanthropists or current philanthropists. See, people don't have to be wealthy to do this. I guess that's the point. That's a perception a lot of people have, right? That you have to have a lot of money to do something like this.
It is, and you do not have to have a fund at GCF to contribute. As Ellen mentioned, we have 7 community funds, and they mirror the 7 grant-making areas that Shiloh mentioned earlier. You'd be surprised at the number of special funds we have. We have funds for animal welfare, for specific arts organizations, and people can contribute to any of those. There's a list on our website, and the diversity of those is surprising.
What is the website, Beth?
www.gcfdn.org. And if you want to keep up with us, you can also go there and sign up for our e-news that will keep you up to date on all our activities.
And you can find a link to the website on WVXU's website as well. Ellen, what's your perspective on the importance of GCF to both the philanthropic and as well as the general community?
Well, again, you know, we are the community foundation created by the community for the community. We have a really unique space in terms of donor-directed philanthropy. So really, in being part of GCF, we're really inspiring philanthropy as an engine, a resource to transform the community, and we're engaging donors to participate in the decision-making, to be very actively involved in what the community needs, learning from us about that, making decisions about where to put resources. So a little bit of a different model in terms of other philanthropic organizations in the community. We're really looking at donor-driven philanthropy.
What challenges do you see ahead?
In terms of
philanthropy. Yes, philanthropy and for the foundation in general?
Well, there seem to be no shortage of challenges that exist. The great opportunity for us is to be present and centered and able to respond and to bring donors along with us. So, you know, there's always the risk that, something could happen, disruptive factors in the community. Our challenge is to be there and be poised to respond and to, you know, bring the generous people along with us. Poverty is a known issue in our region, something that we're attempting to tackle, not just GCF, but, you know, other leaders in the community, and collectively we're working on various initiatives, particularly around education, to try to move this community to a place where poverty is not such a significant issue, especially for kids.
So where do you see the foundation going in the next, say, 5 to 10 years?
Well, I see a growing, vibrant foundation. Would really like to see this permanent endowment for our community building. Having more individuals involved in what we're doing, whether they're donors, philanthropists, or just people who want to be involved in changing the community. We have lots of volunteers, as Shiloh mentioned, committees that are helping make decisions about investments in the community. And the more involvement we have, the better we are together.
Well, Ellen, Shiloh, and Beth, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you,
thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Ellen Katz is president and CEO of the Greater Cincinnati Foundation, Vice President for Community Investment, Shiloh Turner, and Vice President of Communications and Marketing, Beth Benson. Coming up next, we'll hear about the Cincinnati Bar Association and in Focus on Technology, how real-time iPad data is making its way onto the tennis court. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.